Alan Crane Productions, in association with the Emergent Life Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for autumn semester 2025.
Today, bond prices and yields. This will be a short lecture. I'm going to take you through the Excel spreadsheet to do bond pricing and finding bond yields. And then we will settle back down to have a happy quiz, the review quiz for the midterm exam. And again, next week on Monday is just review for the midterm exam. And then on Wednesday, we have the exam itself. I'm going to give you a little bit of an extra thing. The spreadsheet that is you'll really need for the quiz today, and of course on the midterm on Wednesday of next week, is the present and future values spreadsheet. However, I have another spreadsheet which will help you. It's not really as necessary because the calculation is very easy, but I'm going to show you a holding period return spreadsheet today. But before we do that, we're going to have a look at the numbers here for a look at how the markets are doing today. And it's one of those days where it should have been one way or the other, either down a lot or maybe even up a lot. But the market is reacting in sort of an odd way. As you know, the government shut down this morning because of the budget impasse. And so you have a lot of programs the government does just turned off. And so that should have had more than a little bit of impact on the markets, but it didn't. It's still on mute. Thank you. So having a look at the numbers here very quickly, Dow 30 is up 0.25%. Nothing spectacular, certainly not down. And the S&P 500 is up a little more, as we would expect, 0.45%. And the NASDAQ is up 0.51%, very normal day. The Dow is down up the least, and then the S&P is up more, and the NASDAQ is up even more. That's a normal day. Nothing big there. So apparently there's not much of a concern. These budget impasses like this are almost performative theater in Washington, so no one takes it too seriously what's going on with regard to this. Certainly the markets aren't really panicking about it either. Now, as you can see, we have on the other side of the world, Nikkei was just slammed down last night through the night, and it's just not doing very well right now. But as I had mentioned before, in another part of Asia, the Hang Seng keeps going up. And again, it's because there is such a momentum of investment aiming at China. It's just that they are going to be a powerhouse. They already were to some extent, and now they're essentially going to be one of the dominant forces economically and financially of the world. That index is just going to keep roaring upward for the next, for the foreseeable future. There are some dark clouds on the horizon in China as far as their economy goes, but it's nothing to worry about right now. And then we get over to Europe, and we have why do they keep making it difficult for me to find the Euronext or one of those? But we do have Europe in a good mood. Their markets are strong, and they're very well integrated, and so they are a powerhouse of the new world order as well, if there's such a thing. And London, it's going up too. Everyone is happy today. It's a good day up in some of Asia and in Europe and in Great Britain as well. We get over here. It was a bull day too, but not as much of a bull day as I might you might expect. And I do want to make sure that even though I tend to be bearish in my sentiments in a lot of situations, just to make sure that you have some knowledge and some encouragement from bull traders, I did invite a guest speaker for a quick speech on Monday, right before we do the review, who will be talking about bull markets and helping you to understand their perspective on the economy and all of that. And so that's coming up. Now, pulling it on down here, just crude oil is just keeps going and going down. And of course, as I've said, it's this vast supply of oil just glutting the market from the OPEC plus nations. And this is just supply goes up, price goes down. Classic microeconomics. And of course, that means it's great for the gas prices. They'll go down a little more over the next couple of weeks. But at the same time, future production of oil is in great peril, because all these oil companies and oil operations that rely on a healthy price for oil per barrel just can't sustain it. And so ultimately, this will turn around and the supply of oil will contract and prices will go up through the roof on gasoline. But that's not for some time to come yet. Gold, it actually probed above, I believe for a while this morning, $3,900 per ounce. And it has taken that back a little bit, but it's still up for the day. We are getting closer and closer to that $4,000 per ounce mark, as I said we would. And that is a strong indicator of really dark, stormy clouds on the horizon for the U.S. economy in terms of recession and inflation both. We have other indicators of a recession coming. You saw the inverted yield curve and how weird the one was that we're looking at now. It's not just inverted. It is toxically inverted, meaning that there is a very good chance that we're going to have a severe recession in within nine months to a year, probably, if it's going to happen. We may dodge the bullet, but who knows? Just as a mention here, I've been talking more, and I will keep showing you this, the sector map of the economy. These are, the size of them is the sum of the market capitalizations of the companies in that sector. So that'd be the market cap of technology would be the market cap of Microsoft, Apple, NVIDIA, all of those taken together. That is the dominant market cap of the U.S. economy. And as you can see, there were more bull sectors than bear sectors so far today. And the ones that are bearish, financial services has been bearish for a while now. And you got your consumer defensive, consumer cyclicals are green, though consumer defensive is not. Communication is bearish today, as is, well, basic materials. But the rest of it is a bullish day. But as you can see, if you remember on Monday, it was much more green. There were only a few red patches. Today, there are still more green patches than red patches, but you're starting to see more red patches showing up in this sector analysis. So that might mean that by the end of the week, next week, we might see the reds out dominating the greens for a while. But one way or the other, we have a bull day. That's the main thing to be happy about. Now, let me take you over. I'm going to just grab a company out of thin air. Let me think of something that I could do that would show you how to do this. Let me do, I think, T-Mobile. Nope. Oh, yeah, there it is. I couldn't remember what the trading symbol was for the life of me. Just look at T-Mobile just for a minute. First of all, just make sure that you know these for the midterm exam, how to read these screens from the top to the bottom. You've got T-Mobile has a fairly low beta. Again, telecommunications, the mobile phone sector of the economy, has become almost a basic need, a necessity on the line of food or toilet paper or something like that. It is a secure industry, and the players in it are, the stocks of the players in it are relatively safe, as you can see from that beta of 0.6. The PE seems to point to it being a little undervalued. This is a profitable company, quite profitable. Earnings per share are $10, almost $11 per share. So it's a very profitable operation there. Now let me do the holding period return on this, and then I'm going to show you how you could do it with an Excel sheet that I've built for you. But the first thing is, if you remember how to do a one-year holding period return, this is just a review for you. I'm going to bring up a calculator so that you can have, we can do it on a calculator. It's really not that hard to do it on a calculator, but the way you've started is you take the one-year target value, 272.66 here, and you divide it by the price 1 year earlier today, what you're going to buy it at, which is 233.29. 233.29. Now, what's the matter with me? You take the beginning period. Let me clear this out. I got myself confused. You take the ending, 272.66. Divided by the current price of the stock, and that would be 233.25. And then you subtract 1, say equals. Now you're going to multiply that by 100 to turn it into a percent. And then you're going to add the dividend yield. And if you look down here, the dividend yield is 1.72%. So the total holding period return for a one-year hold on this stock, T-Mobile, would be a whopping 18.62%. The usefulness of that, the implication of that is that this is a good investment, especially if you're a defensive investor. You don't want betas that are near one or certainly not above one. You can find a stock like this, and it will have a very attractive one-year return. And if you do this with AT&T and Verizon, you'll find a similar pattern where you see that even though these are low beta stocks, they have darn nice one-year total holding period returns on them. Now let me take you in, and if you want to follow with me, you can on this. You go over, what I want you to do is go over to your files folder in Canvas. And I'll give you a minute to do that. Now, once you go to your files, you go to your spreadsheets, obviously, you will find a spreadsheet called Holding Period Return. Click on the three dots and download it. This is a really simple spreadsheet. All you have to do is put in the price of the stock now, what the ending in a year will be, the dividend yield, and it will do you the HPR, the holding period return for 1 year. Now let me, I'm going to split the screen here, so you can see it for yourself all at once. Now the beginning price is the $233.63. The ending price, we go down here, we scroll down, and we see the $272.66. Then you key in the dividend yield, that 1.72, and there it is. Your holding period, total holding period return. In other words, I just did in Excel what I had shown you on the calculator. The nice thing about doing it this way is that you don't have to remember the formula. And my experience, you also are not as likely to key in numbers wrong. You saw me screwing up on the calculator. Excel seems to guide you to put the numbers in better this way. And this is certainly available to you on the midterm exam and even on the quiz today where I ask you a holding period return question. Just keep this on your screen when the quiz opens and you've got a pretty good shot of getting the holding period return question right. But like I said, Excel has this really nice habit of being able to do things that you would be surprised at. Even a simple problem becomes even simpler sometimes if you've got it baked into an Excel sheet. But anyway, keep that on you for the quiz. Oh, I did it, didn't I? I was going to do something here. Oh, will you stop it? Let me get back in here. Knock it off. There. Okay, I'm going to let me show you. You will not need this for the midterm exam, but we will hit it hard for a little bit right after the midterm. It's a second half, sort of like the numbers part of the bonds chapter. And if you go to your spreadsheets again, and I'll go into student view here. You go to your files and go down to your spreadsheets. And this one is just to keep in your portfolio for the time being. You're going to find one called Bond Calculations Enhanced. This is, if you were to do these by hand, they could take you a lot of time just for one of them. The Bond Calculations Enhanced, I'm going to download it and show it to you. As I had told you, there are two different questions you could be asked. One in which you know the yield. But you don't know that means that you don't know the price. The other one is where you know the price, but you don't know the yield. Now, the yield on a bond is mathematically locked in with the price. They move in opposite directions mathematically, like a clock. The yield is, for lack of a better way of explaining it, the yield is what the market wants the coupon to be. Now, the bond is going to have a coupon. That was decided in the indenture agreement. The bond is going to have a coupon. Once that's set, whatever the economy does, whatever the company does, that doesn't change. However, the market's expectations could change. IBM could issue a bond at 5.25%. 2 years later, the market might say, well, that's not enough. That times have changed. Interest rates have gone up or something like that. So the yield tells us what the market wants the bond's yield to be. And of course, we also have the face value. That's always going to be $1,000. And What else? Oh, the term of the bond. Now, as I said, that is the maturity minus now. So if a bond matures in 2036, its term right now is 11 years. You'll want to have that on hand because that is one of the drivers, but we can put that in pretty easily. I'm going to caution you about something. Excel has an oddity in it. Bonds usually sell anywhere normally between about $1,100 and maybe about $960. That's normally where bonds trade. They're always going to kind of move in that price range. There is another way of writing the price. It's an old way, but it is still very commonly used. It's called on the 100. So in other words, this price would be quoted at 110. Its price is 1100, but markets will often quote on the 100. This bond would be 96. These are not dollars. That's one of the problems we have. Some new traders in bonds, amateurs, buy bonds, and they think they're buying a bond for like $97, and then they have a fit because the bond actually cost, they got taken out of their account, $970. I'm telling you this right now because Excel has a split personality. If I pull up that bond, well, I should try to see if I actually downloaded it. Let me pull this thing up here. If you need to find the price, it wants you to put the, it will give you the price and the face value in thousands, in a real price. But if you're looking for a yield, it's going to want you to put in the price on the 100. In other words, somehow Microsoft thought, well, we'll do one with normal prices of bonds, but we'll do the other with quotes on bonds. Don't ask me why they did it. It's weird. But as you can see, this is, and the machinery behind this, as I said, this would take you 10, 15, 20 minutes to do one of these by hand. Especially if you're not comfort, if you haven't done it very much. So let me show you a problem. ZPT 4.85% 2040. Currently has a yield of 5.07%. What is the price of this bond? Take the words out. Just put in what you see for numbers into an Excel sheet. I will tell you something right now. The market thinks that this ZPT bond should pay 5.07%. The bond actually pays only 4.785%. So the market is going to punish this bond. This bond is going to sell below $1,000. We say that it will sell at a discount to par. Let's see if I'm right. Notice that I don't you don't put in the face value. It's always 1,000. So we will want to put in the coupon, 4.85%. The yield to maturity we see is 5.07%. The term is 15 years because there's 15 years from 2025 to 2040. So we'll put in the 15. Now this number right here, like I said, the book starts you off with one coupon payment a year. In real world, it's you get half of the coupon twice a year. So it doesn't really make the number much different, but I put in a 2 there. You can put in a 1 if you want. But as you can see, the price of the bond is $977.08. As I told you, this bond sells at a discount to par, below $1,000. Why does it do that? Because the market thinks it should be paying more for a coupon than it actually can. So it falls below $1,000. Let me take it the other way. Let's do one on the other side of this coin. And I will go, by the way, over this Monday after the exam. I will go over it again. But if you just think about it the way I'm doing it here, put the numbers in, you shouldn't have a problem. Okay, AVR 6.00% 2038 is currently priced at $1,042.50. What is the yield? Here we know the price, we don't know the yield. And like I said, I'll do this again on Monday after a week from this Monday when we get back here after the midterm. But I want to show it to you now. Now on this side, there's only one place you have to be careful. The term of the bond you can put in there. 2038 is 13 years from now. Notice that the settlement is today. The maturity, when I put in the 13, see how it already figures out that it was a 2038 bond? Now, come on. Coupon rate, 6.00%. Now, notice that this is on the 100. This is just Excel wants it that way. And this one, I put a 1 in here. You can put a 1 or a 2. One coupon a year or half the coupon twice a year. It really isn't going to change the answer too much. The price on the 100, that's where you have to be a little careful, because the price on the 100 of that is 104.25. In other words, on the 100 is 1/10 of the actual price of the bond. This is what Excel wants. Just be careful about that. Make sure you put in the quote, not the price. And once you finish that, 5.53%. Notice this. This bond is selling at a premium to par. The market is very happy with this bond. Now we know why. Because the bond pays 6%, the market says it really wouldn't need to pay more than 5.53%. So because it pays more, the market is going to reward this bond by pushing its price up above $1,000. So in this second example, the bond is selling at a premium to par, because the yield is below the coupon. That was a lot of work. But like I said, I'm going to do this again, but I wanted to give you your first introduction to it. Get you past the little shock wave of bonds, and then when we do it in a week and a half or so, it'll be second nature to you. You'll be much more comfortable with it. I've seen this. This is so much better than just grinding through the theory of it, which is the way you typically have it done in a 240 class. This way, get your answers and then back up and see, oh, now I understand why those answers are what they are. Anyway, what I want you to do now is climb on your attendance radar. And then once you're finished with that, the quiz should open for you. And when you're finished with the quiz, as usual on quiz days, that's all I have for you. I thank you.